All right, open your Bibles up. You can open them up to the book of Matthew chapter 19 if you want to get set. But tonight we're talking about the laying on of hands. This is Faith Basics Part 6. We've been in this series. This is our sixth time in just this series about Faith Basics. You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about the basics. You know, you can never get really to the deep things of God and to new levels with God if you don't start with the ABCs. Just like if you ever wanted to, you know, get deep into trigonometry, geometry, algebra, any of that kind of stuff, you have to start with addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, the basic things. And there are some basic things in the Word of God that if we can get a hold of these basic things, God Himself will take us to the deep things of God, because really when you look at it, it's a simple gospel. God's not trying to fool us. God's not trying to hide Himself from us. He's near to each and every one of us, even though we're groping around like blind people looking for Him. He's not far from us, the Bible says. And so God wants us to get a hold of this simple principle so that He can take us into the revelation of who He is, what He's all about, what His character is like, and what we are when we get into Christ Jesus. Are you listening tonight? So tonight we want to talk about the laying on of hands. Now I know you've probably seen somebody pray for somebody else and they put their hand on their shoulder. Maybe they even put their hand on their forehead or something like that. And you might have just thought, you know, when you saw the hand on the shoulder, well, that's a nice gesture. They're just supporting them and encouraging them. But then maybe you saw somebody was praying and they put their hand on their head and you might have thought, it's a little different. What's going on there? And you know, sometimes people just don't ask. Sometimes people take things for granted. Well, you know what? They're just putting their hand on their head and they're just praying over them. That's how you pray, is you put your hand on somebody's head. But there's a reason why we do this in the church, and there's something that God has to say to you and I about our faith. This is about you and I operating in faith. Everything that we do, when we do it as a Christian, should be done in faith. You know, the Bible says that if you're not in faith, that everything that is not from faith to us is sin. So if you're operating outside of faith, that means that you're now operating in the realm of what is sinful. What does that mean? It means missing the mark. It means that you are not doing what God has called you to do as a Christian if you're not in faith and if you are missing that mark. God has a mark called faith that He's placed out in front of us and said, this is the way you should go, walk in it. So tonight I want to talk about laying on of hands. This is something that in the Old Testament we see that it was used in the sacrifices. The sacrifices were a picture of Jesus that was used in order to show the Israelites when Messiah, Jesus Christ, came, the one who would deliver them, the one who would actually deliver mankind from our sins, that when He came, this was how it was going to be. And the priests at that time, the priests were the ones that represented God to man and man to God. So if somebody had sin in their life and they came and they confessed their sin, what they would do is they would bring a sacrifice. Basically, it was an innocent life for the guilty life. You get what I'm saying? An innocent life was given, blood was spilled on an innocent life, from an innocent life, so that the guilty person could go free. The punishment was carried out vicariously or sacrificially based on that animal. And what they would do to symbolize this is that that person who was confessing their sin would place their hand and lay it on the head of that sacrifice, whether it was a bull or a goat or a lamb, and they would confess their sin, or they would pray to God and confess their sin. And they would speak that over that lamb. They would say, you know what, I've missed the mark. I've done this. I've done that. And then they would take the life of that animal. Now, on the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement was a day where they would make a sacrifice for the sins of the entire nation, including the high priest. Sins that were done in ignorance. Maybe they didn't know that they messed up. Or sins that they did that they knew were wrong, trespasses, things that they had done that went against what God had said. And the high priest and the elders would come, and they had two animals, actually, two goats. One of the goats they would lay their hands on, and they would slit that throat, and they would carry the blood into the holy place. But the other animal they would lay their hands on, and they would lean their weight on that animal, and they would confess the sins of the nation over this animal, and then they would have a man carry that animal all the way out into the wilderness and let it go. That's where we get the term scapegoat. Because it was like they were taking that sin, placing it on that animal, and sending it off, never to be found again. And it was showing a picture of God's forgiveness and God's love. And the Bible says that the punishment, the chastisement, that discipline, that correction for everything that we had ever done wrong was laid upon Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, by his stripes we are healed. The punishment, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The hand of God, the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. And now when you and I look to that cross, look to Jesus' sacrifice by faith, now the punishment passes from us to him when we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. If we are born again, we've given him all of our heart, we've given him all of our life, then now that punishment is no longer on us, but the punishment has been taken on by Jesus Christ. He's ransomed us. He's taken us back from the slavery we were in of sin. And now Jesus comes and he says something to you and to me. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the picture of the Father. He's the express image of his glory. He's the exact representation of his person. This Jesus who dwelt on earth and did a lot of things. We're going to take a look at some of the things that Jesus did tonight. Because as Christians, you and I should be doing these things. Don't you think? I mean, it stands to reason that if Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, then we should be looking at him for our way, for our truth, and for our life. Now, a lot of times we think that just means salvation, going to heaven. But you're still living on the earth. You still have something to do on the earth. And Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works shall you do. Does your Bible say that? Mine does. And so he says, the works that I do, greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. So he says, I'm going to give you the power to do the works that I've done. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus went about doing good, healing people, encouraging people, loving people. I mean, this guy did amazing things while he was here on the earth. The miraculous, as well as the simple. And we'll take a look at some of those things tonight. So in the New Testament, when we see the laying on of hands, we see it used in a couple of ways. Really, I'm going to categorize them in two main categories. So if you're taking notes tonight, you can put a number one. And the first category is this, to impart a blessing. In the New Testament, when we look at laying on of hands, the first general group that I see is that there is a blessing that is imparted. Now, last week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you remember the people lined up, and we talked about how the apostles had laid their hands on people, and they said, receive the Holy Spirit, and they started to speak in tongues, and they received the Holy Spirit. A lot of you guys may have gotten filled last week with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we laid hands on you and we imparted a blessing to you called the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the first thing of imparting a blessing. Now, we discussed this at length last week, so if you want to learn about that, you weren't here last week, go ahead and get the MP3. It's online. You can download it from shifthappensfriday.com. Get a hold of that or on the podcast. But the second thing is in prayer. Did you know that when you pray for people, if you're going to impart something to them, you can lay hands on them to impart a blessing to them. Say, Pastor Dan, what do you mean? Well, let's take a look at it in the Word. Matthew chapter 19, looking at the works of Jesus. Matthew chapter 19, let me get there myself. And in Matthew chapter 19, we're going to take a look at verse 13. It says, then the little children were brought to him, capital H, speaking of Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray. It says, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, if you read on, Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and he departed from there. But look at what it says. It says, the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. Parents knew that Jesus had something. They knew that Jesus was not just a teacher. They knew that Jesus was not just a man. And they were bringing their children to him. Why? So that he might lay his hands on them and pray for them. Jesus, we know, received these little children and he prayed for them. What was he doing? He was imparting something. He was touching them. He was getting his hands on them. You know, sometimes in our perverted society, we hear something like this and we shy away from that. But you know what? If you are going to impart something to someone, you know, a lot of times I've noticed in heated situations, if somebody's really getting mad, if somebody's really getting crazy, sometimes all it takes is you just taking a hand, reaching out. If you're calm and you trust this person, they trust you, and you can put your hand maybe on their arm and just look at them, and it can diffuse the situation. Why? You're imparting something. You're imparting your peace. You're allowing that to diffuse the situation. A lot of times maybe somebody's nervous, maybe somebody's anxious, maybe somebody's having a problem or something like that, and you pray for them, and if you can just put a hand on their shoulder, lay a hand on them, and just let them know, it's going to be all right. I'm here with you. That touch, that point of contact, there's something that goes on when you put a hand on somebody's shoulder. And I'm talking about appropriate touch, all right? This is not some weird, freaky thing, okay? This is the people of God imparting a blessing. Why? Because Jesus did it. Jesus showed us the way that we should walk. And Jesus placed his hands on the little children and imparted a blessing to those children. I was talking to my wife and I said, can you imagine the parents bringing their children to Jesus? Jesus lays hands on them. And later on, they find out that guy was the Messiah. What a blessing that would have been to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had placed his hands on your children and prayed for them and blessed them. Well, you and I today, we are the body of Christ here on the earth. We are the extensions of Jesus. We are his hands. We are his feet. And when we lay hands on people, it's not just some nice gesture. It's not just some appreciation. This is not just some weird thing. This is you and I being Jesus Christ on the earth and reaching out our hands and imparting something by faith. Amen. So that's the first thing, is in prayer. Second thing is that I see in the Word in the New Testament is the ministry gifts and commissioning. Ministry gifts and commissioning. What do I mean by that? Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. And we'll take a look at this. First Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul was the apostle Paul. This guy went out and he started the churches. He had an impartation from Jesus. He had a revelation of grace. He went out and he was doing the apostolic work, this missionary work of going out and planting churches, setting up leadership. And Timothy was a young man who Paul had raised up, and Paul thought so much of that he took him with him on his missionary journeys to help him out. Well, Paul left Timothy in a place called Ephesus. And when he left him there, he wanted to write him some instructions about how church should be run, how he should keep this place in order, because there were tens of thousands of people in Timothy's church. It's a big church. And so he's telling him how to have proper church order. He's telling him how church etiquette should happen. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, we get a picture of Timothy's past, Timothy's life. He says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, Timothy, there was a time where we were in a church service. In that church service, there was a prophetic word. What is that? That means the speaking forth of God's word. It was a direct revelation of the word of the Lord that was spoken forth to Timothy about Timothy's life, about Timothy's future. Doesn't always deal with the future, but sometimes it does. And he says there was a prophetic word that was given, and the elders, the leaders in the church, came and they placed their hands on Timothy and imparted a ministry gift and calling on Timothy's life at that time. They imparted something to Timothy by the laying on of hands. There was a transfer that was made. Just like there was a transfer when the person laid their hands on that scapegoat, that animal, their sin transferred from that person to the goat. Now, in the New Testament, we are imparting a blessing. Here's a transfer. The Holy Spirit comes upon people. When we pray a blessing, there's a transfer that comes. And in the same way, with ministry leadership, when we lay our hands on somebody and pray for them, we are imparting something to them. We are commissioning them for service in the Lord's army. We are placing our hands and transferring a blessing, a calling, a ministry gifting on their life. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor Dan, I want to be in ministry. I want to do that. I want to be a leader, all that kind of stuff. That's good. And, you know, the Bible says that anybody who desires that, that's a good thing to desire to do. But you've got to prove yourself. You've got to make sure that you're faithful. You've got to make sure that you're going and doing what God has called you to do, submitting to leadership. And at the right time, the Bible tells us that God will set you aside and select you for that position, and then that's when hands are laid on you. It's not something you come and you say, hey, I want this, come and lay hands on me, do this. No. Paul's telling Timothy, this prophetic word was given, and then we laid our hands on you, and ministry was imparted to you because of that prophetic word. It was God's way, God's timing. That's why you're there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at chapter 5, verse 22. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily. What does that word mean? It means speedily. It means don't be quick to just lay hands on anybody. nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. What is he saying? He's saying, Timothy, don't just lay hands on anybody as soon as you recognize leadership on them. Their lives may be messed up and you don't know it yet, but you impart this leadership to them and then they go out and they make a mess of your church. Oftentimes, Pastor Jess and I have seen people come in the shift and they come in and they say, wow, this place is the place, man. This is just off the chain. This is just everything in a bag of chips. They come in, they're excited, they're blowing up for Jesus. And we say, wow, this person is just going for God. They're on fire. Look at them. They start inviting other people. They start showing some leadership. And Pastor Jess and I, this is what we do. We say, wow. And then we sit back and we watch. Because a lot of times, when you see people that are like that, they're either going to do one of two things. They're either going to eventually get mature and stay faithful and stay on fire for God and burn steadily, or they're going to fizzle out like a firework in the sky and eventually come crashing down again. We've seen it time and time again. People have come, people have gone, people have come and gone and come again. And that's why the Bible says, do not lay hands hastily on anyone. Why? We've got to prove ourselves and be faithful. And that's something that, you know what, you may desire that tonight, but let me tell you something. We don't lay hands on anybody quickly. Why? Because the Bible says they got to prove themselves. They got to show themselves to be trustworthy. There are requirements. There's faithfulness. There are faith tests that come our way. But that is one of the reasons why we lay hands on people. You'll also notice sometimes there's leadership that we have in here that when they're going somewhere, maybe they're going to school, like PJ that used to sing with us when he was going off to school. We brought him up here. We laid hands on him. And we prayed for him. We commissioned him to send him out into something. We've had other people who have started ministries and gone to the mission field, all that kind of stuff. We lay hands on them and we pray for them as we send them out. Final thing tonight is the second area I want to talk to you about. First area was to impart a blessing. We talked about the Holy Spirit, prayer, and ministry gifts and commissioning. But the second thing that I see from Jesus that he did when he laid hands on people was to heal the sick. Laying on of hands to heal the sick. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. You guys still here tonight? Somebody say, holla. I knew Mark would like that. It's my boy back in the sound booth. Mark chapter 16, take a look at verse number 18. It says, speaking to the disciples that will come. Actually, let me just back up here. I can't just read verse 18. I'm sorry. I get excited when I get into the Great Commission. Got to back up to verse 15. It's not on the overheads, but you should have brought your Bible. Verse 15, and he said to them, go! I think Jesus said it like that. I mean, if the guy can ask the centurions, you know, in the army, who do you come for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I am. And they all fell down. I think when Jesus said, go, it was like, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, has faith, and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Look at verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. Stop right there. Did you know that as a Christian, you're not to be following signs? Signs are supposed to be following you. I think about half of you got that right now. Let me repeat that for the rest of you guys. You are not to be following around signs. If you hear people, oh man, you got to go check this ministry out. You got to go do this. These people are, you know, signs and wonders and this and that. That's great. And I'm sure that God is using them, but you are not to be following around signs and wonders. This is not a show. This is not the parade, come and entertain me. This is not the circus. But rather, he says, signs are supposed to be following you. You are supposed to be to the point where you believe God, you get in faith, and you do something about it. And as you follow him in faith, these signs will follow them who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Sometimes we wonder about that. We say, man, that person was crazy. Something was going on. Well, listen, if they're demon-possessed, you have the authority and the power and the right to cast out demons. You having bad dreams tonight? Cast the devil out in Jesus' name. You say, how do I do that? You have a bad dream, you wake up and you say, devil, get out in Jesus' name. And then you go back to sleep and you have a good night's sleep. I heard of a man of God that woke up one night, saw a demon at the end of his bed. He said, "Oh, it's only you," and he went back to sleep. I don't know if it's true, but it's funny. But that's the attitude that we should have towards the devil. Just you? You've been defeated. Jesus pulled your teeth. You're just a roaring lion. You're not a biting lion. You're looking for whom you may devour because you don't have any claws. I'm glad somebody's getting something tonight. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. We saw that last week. People speaking with new tongues. Listen, this is not crazy. This is the words of Jesus. This did not die with the apostles. Because in the book of Acts, Peter's preaching and he says the promise is for you and your children. That means it's generations that are coming. And there were people other than the apostles who spoke in other tongues and prophesied in the New Testament. And so that means to me that it doesn't just go to the select few. This is for everybody. The Spirit of God is for each and every one of us. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Now, that doesn't mean we go out looking for snakes to pick up and poison to drink. Okay? He said, if. You see the Apostle Paul, he's making a fire on an island. They just shipwrecked. He starts making the fire. As he makes a fire, a snake comes out because of the heat, bites him on his hand. Paul takes a look at it, and all the islanders knew what kind of snake that was, and they were waiting for him to swell up and die. What does Paul do? Shakes it off into the fire, goes his way. All the islanders are watching him. Dude's still walking. He hasn't swollen up. He should have fallen over dead by now. He must be a god, right? They didn't know what was going on. So they concluded that he was a god. But took up a serpent and it didn't harm him. And if they should drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. That means that, you know what, sometimes we get so concerned about is the food we're eating cancerous, this and that. Listen, you thank God for your food, you eat it, and you believe God for your health and your strength. Because if you eat anything deadly, he says it will by no means harm you. You can receive that with faith and thanksgiving and say to God that, you know what, God, I trust you enough to believe that I'm not putting something in my body. And have that worry and that fear and that anxiety that everything causes cancer, that everything's going to kill you. Now, I'm not saying go out and, you know, just drink Dr. Pepper for every meal. You know, you've got to use wisdom too, but at the same time, we should not be in worry and fear. Final thing that he says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Once again, there's an impartation that's going on. He says that the believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will recover. That's in red letters in my Bible. That means that Jesus spoke it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just crazy enough to believe that what Jesus said, Jesus meant. And if Jesus said it, then I can take it to the bank. I can take it anywhere I go. And if I pray for somebody, I lay hands on them and I pray for them. They may not get instantaneously healed, but they will recover. Let me show this to you in the book of Acts. You're there in Mark, turn through Luke and John and go to the book of Acts. Last chapter in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28 is actually where Paul had that snake on his hand. So if you want to read the story, it's right there. Start in verse 1 and read down. But they're on this island, and a guy named Publius brings them into his house for 3 days, and he welcomes them in, takes care of them. And look at Acts 28, verse 8. And it says, "And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery." Now that's a bad day, okay? I feel bad for this guy because I know that that's some terrible stuff. But look at what it says. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. Isn't that interesting that it doesn't say that he laid his hands and prayed and God healed him? We know that God's the one that did it because Paul doesn't have the power in himself, but it says that Paul healed him. You know why I think it made it that statement in that way? Because Jesus said they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So Paul is just doing what Jesus said, and the Bible notes that Paul went in, Paul prayed, Paul laid hands, and he healed him. Why? Because Jesus is working through his word, through the body of Christ on the earth. He wants you and I to walk in obedience to his word. He wants you and I. Now, again, Paul does not have the power in and of himself to heal anyone. But as Paul follows the word of God goes into effect and does what it was sent forth to do. That's why in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says that my word will not return to me void. That which I sent it forth to do, it shall be accomplished according to my will, says the Lord. And so you and I, when we trust and when we believe the word of God, when we obey the word of God, we can believe God for the results from the word of God. He healed them. You know, Jesus, when he went into Peter's house, here's Peter's mother-in-law sick in bed with a fever. Jesus didn't even speak to her. All Jesus did was walk up and touch her hand. You can read it in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus walked up to Peter's mother-in-law, just touched her hand. The fever left her, and she got up and started waiting on him. That's amazing to me. But you and I, if we lay hands on the sick, the Bible says they shall recover. That's a promise from God. Now tonight at your tables, I've got a discussion question for you. And here's the question. Do you need prayer for an area of your life or for healing in your body? Simple question. Simple question. We're going to take like 5 or 10 minutes here. And just real quick around your tables, I want you just to ask the people at your table, do you need prayer for an area of your life or for healing in your body? If so, here's what you do. Share it with the people at your table and pray together. Now, look at what I said. Use the laying on of hands appropriately. I don't want anybody touching inappropriately. If I hear about that, man, I will just get Javier to beat the snot out of you, okay? Because we're still trying to get Javier sanctified. He's saved, but man, I'm just playing with you, bro. I say that because I love him. He's my good friend, but you know what? Appropriately, hand on a shoulder, okay? You're imparting a blessing to somebody. Somebody may be saying, you know what? I've just been trying to get a job for so long. Hey, impart a blessing. I believe that the blessing of God, as I lay my hands on you, is going to be imparted to you. You're going to get a job. Not because of me, but because of the impartation. What God is putting in me, getting through me to you. Somebody says, man, I'm feeling sick in my body. I'm just having a hard time. I got pain. I got fever. I got whatever. You don't have to worry about that jumping on you. No, what you need to do is lay hands on them and they shall recover. Amen. So at your tables, go ahead, and I want you to ask that question. Do you have need for prayer in an area of your life or for healing?